Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchards in Dallas. And Steve Jordahl joins us here in studio. Steve tag-teamed with Fred. Steve is with OneNewsNow.com and American Family Radio News. Steve, I'm curious, have you ever covered a national... You've been a newsman a long time. Have you ever covered a natural disaster before? I'm not on this level, but I mean, have you ever covered a natural disaster?
Sure. I was in news doing broadcasts at the time of Katrina, and I didn't go down to New Orleans, but there's a certain buzz that comes into a newsroom when you got a big story. Everything goes into a different gear, and that's what I'm sensing now with this. There's news breaking all the time, and you got to be on top of things. You got your sources, the people you talk to that know things. You got them right on a short leash. You dial them all the time, and yeah, it's just an energy that happens. It's kind of why I got into reporting. It's a
You were made for this business. I can attest to your personality. Ray, they've already. I was just clicking on the internet here, following the storm, and they already in Lake Charles. They've rescued 500 people early. They say
this is unbelievable. 49 inches so far in Houston. Not done yet for another 36-48 hours. This is, you know, we talked about it earlier. You hear people, you know, Steve, you hear the secular, the regular network people, they use that, they throw around this adjective biblical, rainfall of biblical proportions, hearkening back to Noah's flood. But really, that's, I mean, for a flood like this, what else are you going to say about it?
They're saying, FEMA said, I quoted somebody yesterday. I was trying to remember who it was. I talked to a couple people, but somebody was saying that FEMA says that this is the most dire national disaster to ever hit the United States in its history. Hmm. When they say biblical, of course, Ray, they do mean the flood, but they talk about biblical in the terms of the plagues that hit Egypt,
right.
Also being the disaster that this is, biblical proportions.
Hey, Steve, turning our attention to what happened over the weekend, we're going to play a clip, by the way, in a few minutes from Dr. John MacArthur, or we're going to set that up a little bit more, but tell us about what happened on the weekend.
So in the middle of all this, it kind of got swept away by the news of the flooding in Houston, but there's more protests in Berkeley, and Antifa, which stands for anti-fascist, oddly, and maybe a little ironically, these anti-fascist people with signs that said no hate started attacking people, reminiscent of the brown shirts of the 30s attacking people, acting like fascists. But they were attacking people. There was one particular woman who told a story that she had a sign that said, "Let's just have a conversation." And somebody from the group, she started feeling threatened, so she got in her car and she left the campus. But the Antifa people followed her off campus to a gas station, and they were, she said there was one lady that was just kind of keeping an eye on her and texting, and then all of a sudden these Antifa people show up at this gas station off campus and start beating on the car that she had. So it's not only dangerous to be a conservative on a college campus, it's now just dangerous to be a conservative in a town like Berkeley. So we talk about this in terms of how it's tearing the country apart. We talk about this on how there's political sides to this. There's of course the people who did the guy that drove the car into the woman at Charlottesville being a white supremacist. There's that dire side of the coin, and then there's these Antifa people that are doing violence on the other side of the coin. John MacArthur had a great point. It's not political. The answer and the reason for this is spiritual. And
yeah, let me set this up real quick, and then but you did a good job right there. But this because you're hearing the first time I'd heard of Antifa was a couple months ago. But they are, I don't know what does that stand for. Do you know?
Anti-fascist. And okay. They're not organized. There's
but
no
they're fascists themselves.
Right. It's a very deceiving name.
They're acting fascist.
Just like Black Lives Matter. That sounds great.
Yeah.
When you look, but until you
but
look at them.
But they burn city blocks
right,
down.
Right,
that's
right, right.
That's not great.
Antifa are against private property. They are anarchists.
They're communists, basically.
Basically.
They're anarchists slash communists. Their ideology is rarely
anti-capitalist.
Rarely
basically.
Cited by the media. It's mostly the people that are going after the white supremacists. If you're not on their side, that is Antifa, then you are by definition. You can't be just a regular American who says, you know, has a message or a political protest. You are by definition a Nazi.
Right.
You're with Antifa or you're a Nazi.
There's no place left for people.
So Antifa is that
Antifa?
Antifa is given reign to physically beat up the people that they oppose because the people they oppose are Nazis, even though they're not.
And what we haven't heard, while we've heard a lot of people demanding that President Trump denounce white supremacists, we haven't heard a lot of people demanding that the Democrats denounce Antifa.
Good point. Now, what you're about to hear is a clip I saw on Facebook. My son sent me the other day. It's all over the internet. It's is it the Q&A on there, Brent, or is it just okay? Yeah, this evidently was a conference or a church service following a church service where Dr. John MacArthur, the well-known Bible teacher, was asked a question about Charlottesville. And he had a very fascinating answer, which I think is spot on. It takes about 6 minutes, but it's worth hearing every minute of it. And so let's go to that right now.
Hi, Pastor John. My name is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
I was back and forth with this question, but I received some slight peer pressure through text message, so...
So you succumbed to the pressure.
Yes, I did. Okay. So with that being said, what is a biblical and Christ-proclaiming view of Charlottesville, Virginia, and all that's happened recently?
Sure. I'll give you a biblical view of it. The human heart is desperately wicked. And the human heart is hostile toward God and self-centered and proud and selfish and angry. What Charlottesville simply demonstrates is that fallen humanity is corrupt. All I see in that is the justification of anger. Look, that's not about slavery. That's not about something that happened 200 years ago. That's an opportunity for angry, hostile, self-willed, selfish people to explode and feel good about it. Because they can get away with it when there's enough of them, too many of them to stop. No one tolerates white supremacists. When I was down in Mississippi years ago, I was arrested by those kinds of people for preaching the gospel in black high schools, and I was put in jail, and they took all my money away. I know that. I was with the black leaders in Jackson, Mississippi, and Charles Evers, Medgar Evers' brother. Charles was the first black mayor in the South. Charles, his brother Medgar, was the first martyr of the civil rights movement. He was killed. I was in the room when Martin Luther King was assassinated with those black leaders. And we went to Memphis, and I stood on the blood spots on that motel with those men. And I stood in the little bathroom on top of the toilet where James Earl Ray shot him out the window. Those men were my friends. That was my community. I couldn't buy groceries in that town when I got back. In Mendenhall, Mississippi, I couldn't eat in a restaurant. I've seen all that. That's not what's going on there in Charlottesville or any of these other demonstrations. This is the wretched, fallen human heart feeling like it can rise to any level that is not completely controlled. And let me tell you what gets you there. Number one, the human heart is evil. War is in the heart. Men will kill. That's how they function. But God has built three restraints into society. Restraint number one is in the individual, and it's the conscience. But the conscience reacts to a moral law. So if you have a whole generation of young people that have been taught a twisted, perverted, inverted, upside down, and backwards moral law, then their conscience can't function. The conscience is simply a recognition mechanism that says that's wrong, that's right, that excuses and accuses. But it only can function where there's a sound moral law written in the heart. So you have a whole generation of these people, this generation, who have had a totally perverted sense of what morality is. And the dominant part of this new morality is, I'm the most important person in the world. It's all about me. It's the selfie culture. So conscience is now crippled. Secondly, God put fathers and mothers in a family to bring a rod to discipline people in order to subdue their evil. If the family is destroyed and the family breaks down, then you have no control over those people. So conscience can't function because the moral law has been literally destroyed. Families don't function, so there is no discipline learned. There's no sense of what is right, what is acceptable behavior. And the only institution left that God ordained was the police. And the police were given a sword to subdue those who do evil. When you assault the police long enough that you diminish their authority and the sense of fear and the sense of reverence that a society has to have for those who police them, then all hell will break loose. Conscience isn't functioning, family's not functioning, and the police have been stripped of their powers in the social consciousness. You literally have unleashed the human heart at its worst level. This is not about race, and this is not about what happened in America in the past. No one can tolerate white supremacists. No one can tolerate the Ku Klux Klan. One of my dear friends, John Perkins, his brother was killed in front of him by the Ku Klux Klan in the street. No one can tolerate that. That is just one manifestation of the evil of the human heart. And we have only begun to see it once it's unleashed, and it's going to start coming in all kinds of forms because of the breakdown of moral law, the breakdown of the conscience, breakdown of the family, and because of the incessant assaults on governing authorities. So get ready. I don't think it's going to go away. Okay?
Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. Thank you, Paul.
That is Dr. John MacArthur of, I think it's Grace to You radio program. That was I don't know where that was. It sounded like
it's after his church service.
In his church. Q&A, in his church in California. Mm-hmm. Walker, are you going to put that on our Today's Issues Facebook page, what we
yes,
just heard?
Yes, I've posted the YouTube video link of that entire exchange there between John MacArthur and a gentleman in his, I guess, in his service.
Ray, I don't remember anybody saying it any better than Dr. MacArthur did right there.
You know, he moved away just from the strict politics, who said this and who said that, and he started in the right place. The problem is the rebellion, the fallenness, the broken, the pride inside the human heart. And the only real answer to that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he didn't just say, well, who said first, or who was on this side of the street, or who was on that side of the street. He condemned this white supremacy and the Ku Klux Klan just as strongly as he could, but he showed where the problem really is. The problem, the heart of the problem, is the problem of the heart. That was a great biblical answer.
Did you know, I didn't know that was his personal history, Dr. MacArthur. He was so involved in the civil rights movement.
That's the most I'd heard. I knew that he and John Perkins had been friends for, well, almost 50 years now in the late 60s before, you know, I think he went to Grace Community Church about 69. So a year or two before that, he was in Mississippi, as he said, you know, preaching the gospel. And he knew Charles Evers and the guys at Mendenhall Ministries and all the rest. And so that's a great part of the story.
Yeah. And that gives him credibility
mm-hmm.
to speak on this topic. He's seen what racism is like firsthand as he explained. So a lot of credibility there.
Yeah, and he said that's not what this is about. This is something altogether different. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Steve, your reaction to what you heard there from Dr. MacArthur?
Spot on. Just spot on. I've appreciated his teaching for so many years on his radio program, Grace to You and Grace Community Church as well. And what struck me was this, by saying it's about race, the people that are perpetrating this myth that it's about race kind of paint you into a corner. To say that, yeah, now, for example, if you aren't for tearing down of every Confederate statue, right, then you're a racist. I'm looking for someone, and John MacArthur was spot on this. It's just, if a spiritual problem, you need a spiritual answer. The church needs to step up and be a leader in healing this country from this evil. But I'm waiting for someone to say, I'd like to say, yeah, I don't care what happens to Confederate statues myself. I don't have a dog in the fight. Take them down, leave them up. That's not my fight. But freedom of speech is my fight. And being able to carry a biblical view of the world and a biblical worldview is my fight. And these are the things that in the guise of racism and everything else that's being put forward, that's what I'm being painted with because I have a biblical worldview.
I saw a video yesterday from a fella. It was just a homemade video. I forgot his name. He was a singer, I guess, from in Nashville. I sent it around. This fella was expressing, I think, the views of he was a white guy, probably a little younger than me, maybe in his 40s or something. Country as a turnip green. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. More country than us here in Mississippi.
That's very descriptive.
Yeah, I sent it around, and I said, if you can't understand this fella, I'll help you out. Because I am from the Deep South, and I've heard this. But there are some people in the Deep South, even I have a hard time understanding. But that I digress. But his point was that, you know what? The vast majority of people in this country are not racist. We love one another. We care for one another. We see what's happening in Houston. We're Americans. We wish the best for people. We're people of goodwill. But what happens is you get a few of these people on both sides, in this case, what happened in Charlottesville, who try to rabble rouse and stir the pot and get people angry at one another. And then make us end up choosing sides. If you want the Robert E. Lee statue
right.
to remain, you're de facto a KKK member,
right? Which is crazy,
right? But they, that's the way they paint right. it, and it pits people against one another who wouldn't otherwise be against one another. We went out, you know, and this guy was. I don't have that video on me. I mean, handy, but. You know, the midst of that Charlottesville story, Allison, my wife and I were going out to dinner one night, like on the Saturday night, or it had happened, and I'm sitting by, we're walking in, standing in line with black folks and white folks and all kind of folks.
Right.
And I'm going, you know what, this is not, you know, we're friends here, and but these people in Charlottesville and these people in the national news media want to pit white against black and, you know, all these kinds of division they want to stir up, and it's just not America's just not that racist as they try to make it paint it out to be, Ray.
Well, okay, look, what's happening down in Houston? This kind of brings us full circle in the program, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That okay? What happened in Charlottesville? Tragic and awful. Yeah, and there are some really bad people, right? Some really bad people out there. With some crazy views, but Houston shows the good side of America, shows us that in the time of crisis, it doesn't matter the color of your skin or whether you go to church or what church you go to, what your religion is. You know, if you need help, I'm going to get in my boat and I'm going to go down the street. I'm going to help get you out of the out of your house, and I'm going to take you to safety.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. That's the America we all believe in.
Amen. By the way, the president has just landed in Air Force One, has just landed in Texas.
Corpus Christi.
Where is it, Steve?
Corpus Christi. Yeah.
So he's going to speak and tour, and then I guess talk about what the federal government's going to be doing.
He will probably have a press conference there. He is meeting with Governor Abbott, and he's meeting that will be in Austin later, and then he's meeting in Corpus Christi with the guys that are organizing the response to the flood in Houston.
Houston, it would be impractical for him to try to go there.
There's no place for him to go there. It's all underwater.
The airports were even closed.
Yeah.
So he can't go to Houston. But the fact that the president's going to Corpus Christi is a good – a president should do something like that. I think it was a mistake when President Bush did not go earlier to Katrina, you know, down there somewhere. I've forgotten how long he waited, but
– Then he did the flyover.
Yeah, did the flyover. That's not good.
And it's important to remember that the president is the boss, per se, to FEMA.
Right.
These federal agencies that are assisting. So he's there – and I think he said this yesterday, to make sure everybody's doing their job to deliver relief
right.
to the people in Texas.
Right. So the president's just landed, therefore they were showing Air Force One on TV.
And we need the media needs to make sure they give enough attention to what's going on in Texas, the good things going on in Texas.
Right.
The people of faith coming down to Texas to help out as much as they did Charlottesville. Full week, 24/7 coverage. They need to do the same thing to Texas and show the president helping people in Texas.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, the Christian community will respond to help people in Texas and now Louisiana in mass. And you'll be hearing more about that here on American Family Radio, our role in this to support the 8 Days of Hope ministry. We're just about out of time. Ray, would you mind praying?
Let's do.
Yeah.
Father, we're thankful at the end of this program we can acknowledge that you were Lord, you were God. You hold the whole world in your hands. We thank you for the first responders in Houston. We pray, give them strength. We thank you for the folks who are on the way. And we pray, Lord, for the end of the rain. We pray for you to restrain the rain, Lord, so that the devastation could be lessened. We pray for those, Lord, who are hurting, who have lost everything, Lord. Draw near and comfort them and touch the hearts of your people around this nation to reach out. In the name of America, in the name of all that's good, in the name of Christian love, reach out to our friends in Houston to bring what they need in this time of great need. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. And thank you, Ray, for that wonderful prayer.
Yeah, absolutely.
OneNewsNow.com. If I go there, Steve, what can I find?
You can find all the latest news on the flood, plus everything else we're covering. We haven't stopped covering Washington and the politics that's going on there. So OneNewsNow.com. If, by the way, if you've been listening to this broadcast, you know what a snowflake story is, send us your snowflake stories. We don't have one today. There's more serious stuff going on. But you can send that to snowflakes@afa.net. Just a reminder of something you can do to
I would say this, whether it was a Democrat in the White House or in this case a Republican in the White House, we only have one president at a time, and the decisions before him are enormous and could have great impact on the world, as well as, of course, our lives here in the USA. You know, you've got this whack job over in North Korea sending weapons over Japan.
Yep.
Well, the president's going to be called on to know how am I supposed to respond to that exactly. So, and we got what's happening in Texas and now Louisiana with the flooding. So be in prayer for President Trump today specifically. We'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.